Welcome back to another episode of It's a Mindset. Today we have another guest, Flaminia Buddha. Today she is going to talk about being a digital nomad, what it means. And I think this topic is super relevant right now, especially after COVID. I mean, we're still in COVID, but after, let's say, the big waves hit. So with no further ado, I have a couple questions lined up. And Flaminia, how about you quickly introduce yourself? Tell us about where you're from, what you do, and what made you become a digital nomad?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the introduction, Fritz.
You're welcome.
So I officially became a digital nomad back in 2016. It was a lifestyle choice at the time. I'm currently from Rome, Italy, and that's where I'm at right now. Due to COVID, I've sort of limited my traveling because I would prefer not to be stuck quarantined on lockdown somewhere else other than home right now.
So where have you been?
So in these past 4 years, I've traveled to Southeast Asia. I lived in Bali for 6 months. I lived in Vietnam for a month and then traveled over to Colombia as well. Was there for about two months and a half. And throughout that time, I was working remotely as a digital nomad.
So what does it mean to be a digital nomad? And how do you make a living traveling?
Yeah, I think this is a concept now that is becoming a lot more well known. And there is this term, this I think sort of a cute term that they call it here in Italy called smart working.
Yeah,
and
I really don't like that. It's just called home office.
I know. I felt very weird when they were like, when they said smart working.
Yeah, yeah,
I feel like it's
honestly
just
I'm at a bar and then they're like, yeah, are you smart working?
Smart
I'm like,
working.
I'm like, no, I'm working from home. It's called home office.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
It's not just smart at all. It's like,
no.
They make it seem so much better. I mean, it's awesome. I love working from home, and I've been working from home since February, and I advocated heavily. I'm more efficient, more productive.
Yes.
But, I mean, you've been doing this for 4 years now, so you must already know exactly how to stay productive regardless of where you go.
I think it's a great learning journey for myself, and I would say you have to be very comfortable with being alone. Because you're not in an office space. You're not, you know, grabbing coffee breaks with your coworkers. You know, you have to create your own discipline. And there's many people out there that can't. It's hard to kind of create that space, create a great working space for you. I have my desk. I have my seating chair. I mean, everything is there set up to be an office. And I have incredible discipline and willpower. You know, but it's not only that, it's when you're working on projects that are your passion and that truly resonate with your heart, it doesn't end up really being work. It just ends up being something that makes you smile every day, but you know that the projects that you're working on are something that drive you.
Makes you become a smart worker.
Smart working.
And what is it like, I mean, how do you afford a lifestyle of traveling and eating out a lot if you know that you're like constantly on the go? Like,
yeah.
What is it that you do that, yeah, keeps you, allows you to actually have this lifestyle?
So one of the first jobs that I picked up as a digital nomad was a social media manager. And that's something that I would say is a great entry point into the realm of remote working. Because if you're very familiar with Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the different social media platforms, you can very easily understand how to market a product or service. So I was working for two different clients at that time as a social media manager. And all in all, I decided that that wasn't really something for me. I was doing that for about a year and a half. And I decided I wanted to go more into the social impact realm. I wanted to work with more impact organizations and really giving back my time, whether it is volunteering face-to-face, but also volunteering remotely. There's so many different ways to do that. And that's something that I've learned in these past few months too, that you can actually volunteer your skills remotely. And I think that's so beautiful.
So initially you were a freelancer working for a company providing your social media background expertise. And now you moved into a more full-time position at a company that does what? Like gives back to the community, but how?
Yes. So I work for an organization called Nomads Giving Back. And that concept is essentially taking these foreigners, expats, and digital nomads that are traveling to different locations around the world. Some of them also nomad hubs. And we allow them to understand that it's not only about, you know, sitting at a cafe and using up the Wi-Fi or walking around and seeing the city. It's also about creating meaningful connections with locals and different people in local communities. And not only that, you can actually give back during your time. And what are the different ways to give back, right? They can be as simple as if you have an amazing skill set in creating a Facebook page, you know, you see a local bar, you know, probably like a couple minutes from your hostel that you're staying at, they don't have a Facebook page, like, you know, sit down with them, ask them if this is something that they're looking to do. And you can just, we know how easy these things are, but for people around the globe, they may not have either the means to go about creating these things, or they may not even have the knowledge to do so either.
I mean, actually, that brings it to me to a really interesting point where during COVID time in Berlin, and that's where I'm currently based in, that there was a couple restaurants which had to really quickly adapt, right? They were always selling the food, like, you know, there was, it was a sitting restaurant, and then all of a sudden they couldn't do that, so they did takeaway. But how do you communicate that on social media, right? How do you make the audience that you already have, the client base already that you have, like, understand that you're gonna start actually completely changing the business? So I helped them grow their Instagram, grow their Facebook, and I went there, did a couple photo shoots with them, and I've been doing their Instagram and social media since, and in return I get free Italian food, and so
that's great. That's a good thing.
it's amazing. And I mean, given the fact that, like, I'm in Berlin and I'm Italian, or not Italian, but I lived here for quite some time in Italy, like, I think it's a fair price.
I think that's a really good point that you raised, the whole idea of being very adaptive in these past 2 to 3 months. I think there's not one organization that has needed to do that, right? So being able to know how to pivot digitally and pivot online, you know, these last 3-4 months were probably the most I've ever worked in my entire career.
That's crazy.
And
I mean, the talking about pivoting, right? Like, we work in a lot online and social media, for example. Knowing that companies and pull all their budgets off offline and then put them in online, I think the industry is going way more online, way more Facebook, way more Instagram, way more LinkedIn, you know, all the social medias out there. So what does it mean for you? Like, I mean, knowing that the industry is maybe going in that direction, like, how would you recommend someone start and become a digital nomad like you? And how do you motivate yourself to, like, just get up and go to Bali? Like, I would never even imagine doing that. Like, why Bali?
Well, I mean, to answer your first question, it was pretty interesting to see in these last 2-3 months that a lot of people were messaging me about how did you pick up this lifestyle? How did you become a digital nomad? Tell me the answer that's going to solve all my problems.
Yeah, you should tell them in the podcast, and you can just forward that.
Well, see, that's the thing. Yes, that is a smart question, but you also need to ask yourself what drives you to go towards that path, right? You have to ask, what's your inner why? What makes that lifestyle so attractive for you? Because once you understand the path that you're willing to pave for yourself, you're going to be able to navigate it so much easier. You know, it's the same as, like, creating a project, right? You need to know your objectives and your goals before going into creating that project. And that's all I'm saying. Like, understand, what goals would you like to achieve if you do choose this lifestyle? What is this? You know, I would say one of my primary goals was to wake up without an alarm clock. And that may sound so simple and so stupid, but for me, I did not want to wake up with an alarm clock, you know? And I was like, this is something that I'd love to regain, you know, in my life. And that was one of my top priorities. And what that looks like is living a remote work lifestyle.
And how do you recommend people start, like, finding their goals? And then how do you recommend people maybe even start, like, a social media consulting kind of, let's say, agency? Because I assume, I mean, this is what you did in the beginning. Like, how do you start? Where do you start?
Yeah. So I would say do a lot of research, see mentors, see other people that are doing this, and just ask questions, grab coffee with them, grab a virtual coffee date with them, and ask them these questions. Because, I mean, to be honest, one, a lot of people love talking about themselves, right? So that's one thing that you're going to come across a lot. And secondly, this digital nomad community is very open. It's very open-minded. It's a swinging door. And the people that I've come across have all been uplifting and have chosen their inner why. So when you come across such people, they're willing to spread the love. They're willing to take you by the hand and tell you these things. Some tips that I can share would be, there's a lot of Facebook groups, a lot of Facebook group communities where they'll post jobs. But of course, there's a lot of people ask, I want to have a remote job, but no one's going to hire me because I don't have any remote work experience. And that also applies to anything in life, right? When you start out, you may start out as an intern, you may start as doing this. So one piece of advice that I would share is potentially do a boot camp. Do some sort of digital learning boot camp that allows you to tap into, you know, understanding the remote work lifestyle, but also working on projects that automatically make you work remote. So you understand what it means. You understand, you know, what your limitations are, what your willpower is. A lot of people, this lifestyle is not for a lot of people, yeah, right? You need a lot of, you know, willpower and dedication and discipline. So once you know that you can do each of these things, you'll know that this type of lifestyle is for you.
And I think there's another feedback that I would provide too, which is, message 100 people which work in the industry and just tell them you will work for them for free. And, you know, you'll be the hardest working employee that they have. And you will learn so much that you can take this experience then to agencies or advertisers and then actually say like, hey, you know, this is my experience. Like, I can provide real value and then ask for money. And because initially, like, yeah, you're going to have to start free, I guess, in a way, like,
yeah,
in the beginning to learn something, you're going to have to give.
Yes.
And then you can ask.
Exactly. And I feel like navigating the understanding of what do you want to learn? What do you want to grow in?
So where do you see yourself in the next 2 years? Are you going to continue traveling? I mean, given the situation, it's a bit tough, don't you think?
Right now, yes. I'm currently thinking of staying here in Europe, specifically here in Italy, with my family for the next couple of months. But I can't limit my sense of wanderlust.
That's a beautiful German word, huh?
Wanderlust. Oh, yeah. Lovely. I didn't know that.
Wanderlust is actually wandern means to travel,
mm-hmm,
and lust means like lust.
I did not
so
know
it's
that
traveling
really...
lust. Yeah,
I think in German there's many words that are two different ideas but then are combined together.
Yeah.
And
I mean, here's another funny one for the listeners. Flugzeug means airplane in Germany. And just like in, you know, like we talk about Wanderlust, Flug means like air, like flying or being in air flying. And Zeug means thing. So it's flying thing.
Ah!
Which is quite
cute.
Cool. Yeah.
That's super cute.
So talking about like not doing the typical 9-to-5 job, when do you wake up? When do you finish work? You said you were working excessively the last 3 months. So how does your working schedule on a week to week look like?
So just recently, I always find myself wanting to grow and grow and grow immensely. And how I do that is I follow a lot of mentors. So one of my top mentors would be Brendan Burchard. So I'm reading one of his books. And one of the things that he helps you realize is understanding to work smarter and not work harder, right? And that's something that you would think is sort of a dumb moment, but when you're pulling yourself through working hard, it's very hard to step out of that. And it's very, especially during quarantine, right? That's all that you're really doing. And it was a great distraction for me as well, having the remote work that I have. It was a great distraction from what's happening in the world in general. But being able to really take a step back and understanding, okay, I just need to work for these next 30 minutes or these next 50 minutes, and I'm going to give it my all. And I'm going to have the most concentrated time. I put my phone on airplane mode and I just give it my 110% in those 30 minutes or 50 minutes.
So this is what you're talking and you're telling people, like, smart working is providing full capacity, full mentality towards a specific project for a limited amount of time?
Yes. And not only towards a specific project, maybe towards a specific task,
yeah,
like whether it's email, right? Maybe I'll just do email for 30 minutes. I'll be like, this is what I'm going to do for the next 30 minutes. I'm going to clean out my email for this one client. And once I'm done with those 30 minutes, I'm going to go stretch. I'm going to go, you know, take a break. I'm going to go do a walk, you know, in the yard. Yeah, I think it's good to sort of break that focus. And a lot of the struggles that I was going through in these past few months too was really asking myself, what makes me happy, right? Like, of course, my jobs, you know, they are my passion and I'm working with projects that make my heartbeat faster. But there's also things that you do need to sort of have that work-life balance. Even if your work is your passion, you need that balance in your life, whether that's socializing with friends or whether that's, I don't know, dancing on Zoom calls, right? There were so many different events in these last few months that everyone had pivoted digitally and there was just so much happening. You could have your calendar stocked up with 20 digital events to get involved with things. So I think all in all, one of the huge learning lessons was really understanding work-life balance and being able to prioritize in working smarter and not working harder.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I really just wanted to also thank you for taking the time and opportunity to do this podcast. I have one last question and then we can finish the podcast. Great. And the question is, if you could look back 5 years to 2016 and take all the learnings that you have now, would you do anything differently? And if so, what?
I would not do a single thing differently. I'm going to admit something a little bit spiritual. So for the listeners that maybe are a little bit more on the spiritual side, but for those of you that believe in the universe, I do heavily. And I have this feeling that I follow my intuition. And whenever I feel like something is the right path or something just feels right, I go for it. And that's where all of my best decisions have come from. And the people that I've met on the way have been people that I know I'm going to keep for the rest of my life. So I would say I wouldn't change a single thing. And one piece of advice I'd give to myself probably in 2016 is everything is figure outable.
Yeah, well, I hope you keep following your intuition and can look back in their future 5 years to the person you are now and think the same thing. Sounds lovely. Once again, I really wanted to thank you.
Thank you.
And if the listeners would like to get in touch with Flaminia Buddha, Mina or Flaminia, how about you provide them with your Instagram handle?
Sure.
Or some sort of way of communication, then you could probably ask her yourself if you have any other questions. Otherwise, you can also just reach out to me personally on Instagram or on Mindset.
Yes, please do reach out. I love people, so I love talking to people. I love to hear your why. And yeah, reach out to me via private message. I can also provide my LinkedIn if anyone wants to look into collaboration opportunities.
What is your Instagram handle?
Thrive Curiously. So we'll share it in the after notes, but yeah, it's a little hard for the people that maybe are located in Latin America. I've noticed that people in Europe, maybe non-English speakers, they've struggled a little bit with it, but Thrive Curiously.
Perfect. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.